Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Today's program has been pre-recorded. Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT presentation. It's Readin', Writin', and Reason. Now, here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, welcome in, everyone, to this week's edition of Readin', Writin', and Reason. And boy, do we have a good one this week. Two women that I interviewed during the Noon to 3 show this week. Emily Green, she is the Deputy State Director of Americans for Prosperity. She was on with us to talk about the fact that we have state legislators trying to tell the University of Pittsburgh they'll take away their funding. They're suggesting, some of them walking right up to the line and pretty much saying it, clearly unconstitutional because they don't like conservative speakers coming to the University of Pittsburgh. One of them was Riley Gaines. We'll replay my interview with Riley Gaines, who's one of the most composed 22-year-olds that I've ever talked to, the swimmer who pushes back against Leah Thomas. But first, Emily Green came on to talk about the efforts of Americans for Prosperity in Pennsylvania to push back against, both in court and in public opinion, to join with them against this idea you can't have conservative speakers on campuses here in Pennsylvania. Here's what Emily Green told us. Hey, Emily, welcome in. Thanks for joining us in Philadelphia.
Hey, Dom. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you're welcome. So, Malcolm Kenyatta, who ran against John Fetterman, appears to be one of the leaders. He's from Philadelphia, but there are a cadre of these progressives. What are they telling University of Pittsburgh?
Look, you know, what they're telling the University of Pittsburgh is that students do not have the constitutional right to free speech to hold these events. And I will just tell you, from Americans for Prosperity's perspective, where we fall on this issue, is that it is not the proper role of Harrisburg to be dictating to a publicly funded university the types of events that they can and cannot hold on campus. This is way out of the scope of government. The actions from the LGBTQ caucus serve as a threat to constitutionally protected speech, and this move by these outspoken members is, at its core, illiberal, truly.
Yes, it is. Now, again, a lot of these things, Emily, you heard, we just had an incident here where the Sheridan had a deal with a woman we're friendly with, very mainstream type of thing. She comes on the air, says it, bang, they drop her. It's centering around a lot of debate around various transgendered issues, either in school or women's sports or in general. And what do you make of it, though? You're a grad of Pitt. 11,000 in one report I saw. Pitt students of one sort or another signed a petition against even allowing this.
You know, it's so funny you ask that, because I was thinking about my days on campus. Now, I attended Pitt's campus from 2012 to 2016, aging myself here a little bit. But, you know, I was a Republican on Pitt's campus, and make no mistake, you know, I knew that I was in the minority in thought and ideology on campus. You know, in many of my circles, I was the token conservative friend in my friend group. But this never hindered my ability to have strong friendships with people and relationships on campus. And, you know, time and time again, we would have these discussions about the issues, and I would have to oftentimes defend why I believe that a limited government involvement in day-to-day life meant economic prosperity for taxpayers. But, you know, to the university's credit here, too, my beliefs never held me back academically. I was thinking back to a time in 2016, I was taking a sociology course on campus. And I remember having a pretty heated discussion with my professor at the time. But, you know, he appreciated the opportunity to have these discussions. It never impacted my grades nor my ability to speak up. I never felt weird raising my hand on campus. But I think that has totally changed. And, you know, what's really at the crux of this discussion is whether or not this is protected free speech. And there's no doubt about it. Whether or not it's a comfortable conversation to have, it's still a worthy conversation to have on campus.
Well, here's the argument, the other side, much as it is, but it's emotional. They think it's winning inside their bubble. I don't think so outside. You get competing views here. Freedom of speech versus... They're saying when you do stuff like this, you're putting lives at risk, not just ideas, but lives. People are going to commit suicide. They're going to be completely unhappy that are trans or thinking about it. Well, what's the response to that? That's a pretty weighty other side. And this is happening right here in Pennsylvania. We had it with Alana Fishbein. I think in the end, as maddening as this stuff is, it's both the right thing and the politically right thing. The other side's losing on this. I told you the story out there that the International Women's Body, now Martina Navratilova and others, talking about over the weekend, said, no. You want to have another category of people that are fluid, gender fluid, or transitioning, whatever it might be, knock yourself out. We're not going to let you compete against women anymore. This is a multi-pronged debate here. So, Emily, we were in agreement. The other side says this is life and death. What's the response?
You know, I just think whatever side of the debate you fall on, it's an unsettled debate for many people. And whether or not this is held on campuses, which I fully believe that these tough conversations should be happening on campus, they're going to happen around kitchen tables and bars. So, and, you know, restaurants across the Commonwealth. So why not hold these debates on campus, these conversations on campus? And quite frankly, my argument is if this is an issue that you fully support, if this is your issue to champion, wouldn't you want every opportunity you can to make your case in support of it?
Well, exactly. But the bottom line is we don't want to debate anymore since the time you've been on campus in any reasonable way. So what happens now with this threat or suggested threat? What happens next, do you think?
Well, I can tell you from an Americans for Prosperity standpoint, we are supporting free speech. We are a grassroots organization through and through. We believe in scaling the voices of the grassroots from Philly to Erie to Pittsburgh. We want lawmakers to hear that they need to be protecting free speech, and it is not the proper role of government to intervene here. You know, we have a website called thekeystoneplaybook.com. That's all of our plays to make for a freer Pennsylvania and a better Pennsylvania. And if you're listening today, I implore you to head to the website, check out our playbook for a better PA, sign your name to a petition, because really that's the most important tool in the toolkit that we have. It's our voice. And if we're not scaling it, This radical left movement is going to ensure that they're owning the narrative, and that should not be the case, I believe.
No. What's the website again, Emily? Where do they go?
Sure. It is keystoneplaybook.com. You can sign. There's a big button that says take action. Sign your name today. Get involved, because if not, we are going to lose the narrative. We are going to lose the conversation, and we need to be protecting free speech. And, you know, to your point, too, one of the speakers at the April 18th event held by the Pitt College Republicans is a transgender activist and distinguished scholar, Deidre McCloskey. She's saying, let's hold the debate. Let's have this conversation, whether or not it's uncomfortable.
Yep, without a doubt. I mean, there could be some discomfort. Nobody says competing interest. We always arrive at that. Debates were not shut down at the time of Lincoln Douglas over slavery. What could be more of an uncomfortable, horrific thing than that versus what we're seeing here? So, Emily, thank you. Thanks very much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. Check out KeystonePlaybook.com. Sign your name. Join our movement.
All right. Emily Green talking about the University of Pittsburgh. And then just days later, we had on Riley Gaines, who was the featured speaker in this battle, women's sports, transgendered athletes, Leah Thomas. Here's what she told me, and she was fresh off the University of Pittsburgh, where students blocked roads to try to prevent her from getting in there. Just an incredible interview. Here is Riley Gaines on Reading, Writing, and Reason. Hey, Riley, welcome back to Pennsylvania. We'll give you a better welcome than some of the students at the University of Pittsburgh.
Oh, thank goodness. I don't know if it could be worse.
I admire your style. For listeners, you were there, I think, on Monday. You had about 70 people or more in the audience, thousands screaming at you outside. And this one woman, apparently, you have said that Leah Thomas here at the University of Penn was walking around, penis dangling out there. I think she asked you, Riley, and I wanted to know what you said. Well, why did you look, is what she said to you.
Yeah, she had the audacity to call me the pervert. She said, you're a pervert for staring at another person's genitalia. To which I quickly alerted her that I was not staring. It was in our faces. We were not staring. Trust me, we did not want that in our locker room. So that assumption. But truthfully, when someone says something like that, it highlights how, not to be rude, but how idiotic, really, these people are. She's going to call me the pervert when we have a man undressing in the women's locker room. It is so upside down, but it's a perfect display of the left, really, and how they're handling this whole topic.
Now, Riley, you have described this, I believe, as spiritual warfare protecting women's sports. I have sisters who played at college level, one scored 1,000 points, that kind of thing. So we're very well aware and protect. Women's sports have been the greatest thing for women, arguably, over the last 25 years because of the ability to excel, develop leadership, all those things. And I don't think they get it, though, how intense, it's kind of demeaning to females like you, how intense this is. It's every bit as intense as male athletes trying to be the very best at the top of the sport.
No doubt about that. I spent 18 years of my life dedicated to achieving maximum performance, which isn't just in your sport. It translates into your diet. It translates into your sleep schedule. It translates into your physical rehabilitation that you do. You dedicate your entire life to your sport. And again, 18 years, I started swimming when I was 4, and I'm 22 now. And so I think it just makes a perfect display of how this is a mockery to women competing against men, because we're spending all of our time and energy making social sacrifices, trying to achieve, like I said, maximum performance. Yet when we go against men who are taking hormone suppressors sometimes they're not even doing that. Just a male who claims to be a woman, but let's say they are taking hormone suppressors. We're going against someone who is actively trying to decrease their performance and actively giving their second best. Meanwhile, I'm doing everything I can to shave off just a few 100ths of a second. I would be thrilled if you shave off 1/10 of a second. But we're competing against someone who's giving their second best. It's a slap in the face to what we do and the physical limitations and physical ceilings that our bodies as women have.
Yeah. Are you encouraged, though? At least one world body the other day said, no, we're not going to put up with this anymore. You are what you are at birth. And Martina Navratilova, who you would think, for a lot of reasons, she's one an icon, she's gay, would be a bit protected from the mob, has spoken out, but it's very difficult. So I wanted to ask you, because we here had somebody who spoke to the University of Penn swimmers, and none of them spoke out. And I could see why, because their life was going to be different. If they went for a job, they were told, you'll never get it. It'll be out there. People in certain circles won't give it to you. So what is it that propelled you? Is it your faith? Is it something else to be this public about it, Riley?
A lot of different things, one of which, of course, being my faith. And that's kind of, I know you mentioned how I described,
yes,
not just the fairness in women's sports issue, but really what's happening in just how we're denying objective truth. That's what this is. And we're denying what a woman is. I mean, we have a sitting Supreme Court justice who can't deny or who can't define what a woman is. That's really scary.
Yeah.
They're trying to suppress our speech. There's so many different little things going on outside of just the fairness piece. But that's why I say this is spiritual warfare. It's no longer good versus bad, right versus wrong. This is moral versus evil.
And so my faith is something that definitely propelled me to speak out about this. Two, I thought of the women who fought for Title IX, who fought relentlessly to get equal opportunities for women. My grandma, even in her same lifetime, she saw the benefits of women's sports, and now she's seeing that being taken away. Another reason I fought is exactly like you mentioned, is these present female athletes, including Leah Thomas's teammates, who I've also talked with, who have shared with me privately, of course, that they feel the exact same way I do, but they're terrified into speaking out, and so I'm speaking for them. And third, I'm speaking for the future generation of athletes. I have a little sister who just was the state champion in gymnastics in Tennessee. I can't imagine not fighting for her. I just got married. I can only hope one day that I'm fortunate and blessed to have a daughter. And I can't imagine being in the position I'm in with the platform that I have, with the experience that I dealt with, and not advocating for her rights. And so those are kind of the things that really encouraged me to be comfortable and secure in standing for common sense, quite frankly.
And Riley, it would look, some of these debates around, even though I think they're clear, and I know that you do too, but let's just stipulate, all right, about a kid who thinks they should be a different sex and puberty blockers and all this. But the women's sports thing should just be the low-hanging fruit, so to speak, here. There's no way any responsible, reasonable individual could not see that this is out of bounds. If we can't start with this, I don't know how we're going to get to the other things.
Absolutely. And that's why this whole sports thing, it's a perfect display of what they're trying to push when they can't even acknowledge that men are advantageous on average. Of course, there's anomalies and there's very weak men, but we're talking about the bell curve here. On average, men are taller, stronger, more powerful, faster than women, and there are people denying that. We actually, when I was at University of Pittsburgh speaking, a professor came to listen, and he taught anthropology, and he, of course, gave his long spiel to credify himself, saying he has his PhD, and he was a collegiate athlete, and he's an African-American. Of course, he had to throw that in there and all the things. And so he asked me some silly questions about, you know, why don't we just ban Michael Phelps since has genetic advantages as well.
Yeah.
I explained to him the differences, and I know we probably don't have time, but that's easily rebutted. But then I asked him a question. I said, okay, you know, you're an anthropologist. Did you take courses in archaeology? And he said, of course I did. Did you not listen? I have my PhD. I was like, okay. Well, now that I know you've taken a course in archaeology, let's say we dig up two skeletons 100 years from now, one male, one woman. Would you be able to tell who's who? Of course, he's cornered at this point, and he says no.
Yes.
And I just shake my head for these poor Pitt students who pay to learn from these people. This professor who says that from skeletal structures, you can't tell the difference between men and women.
Now, Katie Hobbs, I saw you on Twitter, I think, too. Katie Hobbs, the new governor of Arizona, after this situation in Nashville, puts this woman or somebody with 245s pointed and firing around transphobes. What's Riley Gaines' thought on what the governor of Arizona is doing?
Being from Nashville, I mean, the shooting that took place is in my backyard. I mean, I can't even tell you the grief I have felt the past 48 hours. Like, my heart, it feels like, I mean, it hurts. And we have a government official, a press secretary at that, someone who is supposed to understand communications, goes on to social media, charades this photo of a woman with two guns and says, this is what we will do to transphobes or whatever. It is so insensitive. I cannot believe this person holds an official position working for a governor, like I said, especially as a press secretary. I've never been one for the cancel culture thing. I think, you know, people make mistakes. But this, I mean, that to me, this woman deserves to be fired effective immediately. Because let's think of this if it were the other way around. If this was a Republican who posted a photo and said us when transgenders walk by or whatever it was, that Republican would be fired before the tweet could even be posted. But this person, it's likely that rather than facing repercussions, she'll be in some way celebrated or honored for this. Let's say they force her to leave her job. She'll probably get a promotion to a better job. I mean, it's sickening.
It is. Riley, I have to ask you, too. I know you're very spiritual, very religious, and that I can tell how that helps. But it's almost divine providence. I don't know too many people that could have thrust upon them this thing, you and Leah Thomas, in that finish, and then embrace this and continue to move forward, even though I saw that pack at Pitts yesterday, and actually take questions in your audience from people that are just doing it to try to set you off. So do you kind of feel that, I mean, how did you prepare for this when this was thrust on you?
You know, I'm fortunate that this issue is so common sense that it kind of requires little preparing. It requires a brain and a fifth grade understanding of biology.
Yeah, but to take it, to be out right there doing this, you're in a library and the librarians are trying to shut you and Kirk Cameron down that library tour. They're making noise so you can't be heard with kids there.
You know what it is, truthfully, and this is why I think it's so important to protect women's sports. Being an athlete my whole life, especially being a team captain at the University of Kentucky for 2 years, you gain a sense of confidence and a sense of leadership from your sport. And I think that has been what's allowed me to feel comfortable doing what I'm doing. It's because of sports. It really is, which is why it's bigger than just the opportunities to play. These are lifelong skills that you develop because of your sport and lifelong friendships. There was an Ernst & Young study that says 94% of C-level executives, female C-level executives, were female athletes. Mm-hmm. So they teach you amazing skills, characteristics, and that's what has given me the security. That, along with my faith, and my family. My family, I was raised in a way where, you know, I've always been just secure in myself, and I'm not going to back down from what I think is true and right.
Well, absolutely. Where can we find you, and what are you up to? You're writing a book? Are you doing anything else, Riley, at this point? I know you're involved around the country, but what's the best thing that we should be looking for from Riley Gaines?
Absolutely. My Twitter is Riley_Gaines_. I try and post breaking stories of this happening all the time so people don't believe the narrative that it's a non-issue, because that could not be further from the truth. So I try to highlight different things. My Instagram is Riley G. Barker. Like I said, I just got married, and so the Barker last name is new to me. But what I'm doing right now, I'm supposed to be in dental school. I've changed my whole life plan to what I thought I was going to be doing.
Okay.
And so I'm really just trying to get the younger, just like what I was doing at UPitt, I'm trying to get this younger generation involved and eye-opened on this issue.
Well, you certainly are doing it. Congratulations on the wedding, too, and the marriage. And we'll see about dental school down the road, Riley. But anytime, you are welcome here in Philadelphia.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much.
All right. I hope you enjoyed this week's edition of Reading, Writing, and Reason, particularly Riley Gaines. You get it every week. Dan drops it around 3:30, 4 o'clock on Friday on the station website. Let people know about it, 1210WPHT.com. Riley Gaines, thank God she's out there. That's this week's edition of Reading, Writing, and Reason.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.